"Dear lady," said Monsieur Delacour, still holding Mrs. Weasley's hand between his own two plump ones and beaming, "we are most honored at the approaching union of our two families. Let me present my wife, Apolline." Madame Delacour glided forward and stooped to kiss Mrs. Weasley too.
"Enchanté," she said. "Your husband has been telling us such amusing stories."
Mr. Weasley gave a maniacal laugh. Mrs. Weasley threw him a look, upon which he became immediately silent and assumed an expression appropriate to the sickbed of a close friend.
"And, of course, you have met my little daughter, Gabrielle," said Monsieur Delacour.
Gabrielle was Fleur in miniature. 11 years old, with waist-length hair of pure silvery blonde, she gave Mrs. Weasley a dazzling smile and hugged her. Then threw Harry a glowing look, batting her eyelashes. Ginny cleared her throat loudly.
"Well, come in, do,"
said Mrs. Weasley brightly, and she ushered the Delacours into the house with many "no pleases" and "after yous" and "not at alls." The Delacours, it soon transpired, were helpful, pleasant guests. They were pleased with everything and keen to assist with the preparations for the wedding. Monsieur Delacour pronounced everything from the seating plan to the bridesmaid's shoes
charmant.
Madame Delacour was most accomplished at household spells and had the oven properly cleaned in a trice. Gabrielle followed her elder sister around, trying to assist in any way she could and jabbering away in rapid French. On the downside, the borough was not built to accommodate so many people. Mr. and Mrs. Weasley were now sleeping in the sitting room, having shouted down Monsieur and Madame Delacour's protests and insisted they take their bedroom. Gabrielle was sleeping with Fleur in Percy's old room, and Bill would be sharing with Charlie, his best man, once Charlie arrived from Romania. Opportunities to make plans together became virtually non-existent, and it was in desperation that Harry, Ron, and Hermione took to volunteering to feed the chickens, just to escape the overcrowded house.
"But she still won't leave us alone,"
snarled Ron, as their second attempt at a meeting in the yard was foiled by the appearance of Mrs. Weasley carrying a large basket of laundry in her arms.
"Oh, good, you've fed the chickens," she called as she approached them. "We'd better shut them away again before the men arrive tomorrow, to put up the tent for the wedding," she explained, pausing to lean against the henhouse.
She looked exhausted.
"Millamant's magic marquees, they're very good. Bill's escorting them. You'd better stay inside while they're here, Harry. I must say it does complicate organising a wedding, having all these security spells around the place."
"I'm sorry," said Harry humbly.
"Oh, don't be silly, dear," said Mrs. Weasley at once. "I didn't mean... Well, your safety's much more important. Actually, I've been wanting to ask you how you want to celebrate your birthday, Harry. 17, after all. It's an important day."
"I don't want to fuss," said Harry quickly, envisaging the additional strain this would put on them all. "Really, Mrs. Weasley, just a normal dinner would be fine. It's the day before the wedding."
"Oh, well, if you're sure, dear, I'll invite Remus and Tonks, shall I? And how about Hagrid?"
"That'd be great," said Harry, "but please don't go to loads of trouble."
"Not at all, not at all. It's no trouble."
She looked at him, a long, searching look, then smiled a little sadly, straightened up, and walked away. Harry watched as she waved her wand near the washing line, and the damp clothes rose into the air to hang themselves up. And suddenly, he felt a great wave of remorse for the inconvenience and the pain he was giving her.